A couple of years ago, I had the chance to spend a day cooking with a Ghanaian man named Charles Cam. We were at his apartment, and he showed me a few of his favorite dishes, like egusi stew, this delicious pot of gingery greens simmered with tomatoes and smoked shrimp, and then thickened with so many pumpkin seeds, it came out almost like a scramble. And at one point, he sat on a footstool to grind down chilies with his big, flat mortar and pestle, and he noticed the face I made when the aroma hit me, because it was so fruity and sweet and floral, and he said, "We call this pepper ojima. It means it smells well," which is just such a beautiful name for an ingredient. And it told me two things. One is that there's so much poetry in the way people translate words. And the other is that Ghanaians must really love an aromatic cuisine. But I never learned much more about this food until I came across Zoe Ajanyo. Zoe grew up in London with a Ghanaian father who never really taught her how to cook. So as an adult, she decided to connect to that heritage and taught herself to cook. She met people in London's African markets and traveled to learn from family in Ghana. And now she has a restaurant and a cookbook called Zoe's Ghana Kitchen. We asked her to come in and tell us about this cuisine. So hi, Zoe. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Francis. Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
So I want to talk to you about Ghanaian food. And I think, you know, it's sort of a silly thing to ask people to describe a cuisine, but I'm going to give it a try and let's see what comes to mind first. So what would you say are some of the hallmark characteristics of Ghanaian food?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It is a tricky question because Ghana is such a huge country and region to region, you know, the ingredients vary quite a lot. But definitely the cornerstones I would suggest are there's lots and lots of unprocessed food. So lots of pulses, lots of fresh vegetables and spices, and a lot more green in the diet than people would expect. I think a lot of people imagine a lot of African food to be very meat heavy. But lots of, aromatic. It's very aromatic and wholesome, with sort of these great different flavor profiles.
Yeah, what are some of the flavor profiles?
You have spices like guinea peppers or alligator peppers, and these are kind of really aromatic. They're on the same sort of scale as nutmegs, that kind of vibe, you know, kind of woody, earthy flavors. Actually, whenever I crack open a guinea pepper, it always reminds me of being in like a massage parlor, you know, when that aromatherapy smell of, you know, candles, lovely candles happening around you. Heat is involved, so there's a really wide variety of different kinds of hot chilies as well. Not that all the food is particularly hot, to be honest, another misconception of Ghanaian and West African food, but you know, then there's the subtleties of the different yams, between yam and cocoa yam and cassava and those kind of carb staples as well.
Yeah, and talk to me about some of those carbs. I think people are more familiar in West Africa anyway with Senegalese food, which is very rice heavy. But Ghanaian food, you have different starches that are not rice. You have different yams and mashes and fermented mashes and things like that. Tell us about some of those.
Yeah, so what we're really good at as well is really getting as much out of one thing as possible. for example, for like plantain, I mean, everyone pretty much, I guess, knows what a plantain is, but from green to black over that 7-week cycle, it goes from very, very starchy, where you'd use it for something like a pem, to super, super sweet, where the starch transfers to sucrose, and then you make wonderful things like tatale pancakes. And we have, like, we use cassava, yam, and cocoa yam, which is like a small version of the larger yam. But when I say yam as well, I don't mean sweet potato, because I know Americans call sweet potatoes. We have that controversial issue between us. cocoa yam is small. It's kind of hairy and quite sweet. So all of those vegetables you can kind of use in the same way that one would use a potato. You know, you can chip it, roast it, fry it, and all of those things. But then again, we also pound those things to extend its life and to turn it into another dish entirely, which is, I don't know if you've probably heard of fufu, for example, which is like basically pounding down yam with water until you get kind of this viscous, sticky, starchy, kind of almost like a dough, somewhere between like mashed potato and a dough. And then we use our hands to scoop up soups and stews and fish. And so it becomes like an eating tool as well. So yeah, we've got a very large variety of different carbs other than the famous jollof rice.
And so with those different mashes and the yams, it's often stews, right? There are a lot of stews with smoked fish and the peppers. You talked about the nutmeg. And tell us about some of your favorite dishes.
Well, light soup is, well, actually, groundnut soup is my absolute favorite dish because that's one I ate most frequently as a child. And it's literally like that combination. This is what I mean about those subtle flavor profiles. And you have like this sweet peanut, peanut butter vibe going into like stewed lamb with scotch bonnet and tomatoes and ginger. And you have this sort of sweet, savory combination. It's an amazing smell and it's just such a great taste together. And you have that with like fufu, for example, or yam and plantains. And it's literally like when you eat a mouthful, Francis, I'm not kidding. It's like someone's just hugged you. The spoon just gave you a massive hug. So delicious. But I mean, other things are like, you know, famously okra soup. One that a lot of people don't eat so much, I guess, would be something like palm nut soup. And a lot of those dishes as well, you find from region to region, they can either be vegetarian, like okra soup can be quite a simple vegetarian dish with okra and spinach. Or, you know, perhaps up in the Volta region, you might find it's they've got lots of stockfish in there. And then again, in El Mina, on the coast, they'll have stockfish and goat in there, perhaps, you know. So that's what I love about the food as well. It's like it's so easy to vary it from a light kind of stew to a very dense, heavy meal. So it can be a snack or a big meal, you know.
Yeah. And stockfish, is that like a dried, like a salted dried fish?
Yeah. So again, preserving food is a big aspect of Ghanaian diet, sorry. So yeah, like barracuda, catfish, mackerel, I mean, there's so much actually. I remember being at Jamestown watching a haul come in and I couldn't believe there was even squid and stuff like that. I was just so surprised at the variety of fresh fish available. But yeah, and they're used as stockfish for sure. And you know, that smoked, dried, salted fish flavour, well, I'm sure you know yourself from other cuisines, it's incredible. And it's one of the key features actually of a hot pepper sauce I love that is kind of an accompaniment to pretty much every meal really is called shito. Have you heard of shito?
I have a jar of it in my fridge and it is so good that it's been there for like a
year. Did you make
it
from my book?
No, this actually, it was a gentleman I met once who taught me how to make a couple of Ghanaian dishes. We had a terrific afternoon together. And as I was leaving, he's like, oh, take this. I just made this shito. And I was like, and the problem is it's so good that like, I can't bear to use it. Like, so now I'm just sitting there, like I keep spooning out like 2 microns at a time. But tell me about how to make it. Yeah. What is it?
Oh, so yeah. So it's basically a hot, kind of a hot pepper sauce. It's a little bit like sambal, I guess, because it has that kind of smoked fish, smoked crayfish, smoked prawn aspect to it, depending on what you've got available to you. I quite often use a combination of those things, but it's actually super simple to make. So you use quite a lot of oil because oil is going to give it the right consistency. And you sort of saute lots of onion into that. I add guinea peppers if I have them available. So crack those open, grind them down, because they get that nice aromatic spice. I also add some fresh sort of hard herbs, either thyme or rosemary, just again to bring out those aromatic notes. And then the rest is really straightforward. You add quite a lot of tomato puree. You add quite a lot of your crayfish, smoked fish or smoked prawns. Most commonly people use prawns. And obviously it depends how kind of fishy you want the flavour to be, because smoked crayfish is going to be a bit stronger than the prawn and the smoked fish is going to be stronger again. And you kind of stir them all in and let them bubble and melt together. And then I add some either little pakposhito peppers, which are those green little cherry peppers that look so sweet and adorable, but are actually very, very hot. And then like about 200 grams of chilli. That's my standard my standard amount of chili to add because I like it really hot. But you can go a lot lower than that. You can add 75 grams maybe for a mild version. And you just let it cook out in the pot nice and slowly, nice and easy, bubbling up. And it goes from this really deep red color to kind of deep, deep, dark brown. And the smell is just incredible. And the taste is obviously wonderful as well, as you as you know.
It's a weird kind of hug that kind of hurts at the end.
Yeah, it's more of a little pinch. Wake up.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Zoe.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Zoe Ajanyo is the author of Zoe's Ghana Kitchen. She left us with recipes for plantain peanut curry and that magical hot chili paste called shito. You can find them at splendidtable.org. And if you'd like to hear more from Zoe, we talked about how she got into cooking this food on our podcast. So subscribe and look for that conversation in your queue.